I'm not blaming the fact that we're starting late on the fact that you're already drinking at 1:11 in the afternoon.
There's only been one time where my drinking like truly affected the show and you were in on it.
Might have been two or three times.
Okay, fine.
There was only one aborted show.
Right.
But it has affected it in the past.
Well, a little bit. I don't have anything to do today. I don't know what to do with myself.
When you were screaming about the blue M&M.
What do you think about the gummy bears?
That has actually had traction on Facebook.
Well, it's shocking.
A green gummy bear should not be strawberry ever. Just as blue things shouldn't be raspberry.
They should be schnozberries.
And the fact that you say that you only ruined one show by drinking is really nothing to be proud of.
Who said I have any pride about any part of this show?
Yeah, but when you went back and that was your defense, I thought, really? That's what she's building it on?
I meant that as in you are just as guilty as I.
I understand now. Shall we begin?
I thought we had.
Yeah, 12:15.
Bing bong, it's 1:33.
Exactly.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey there, this is Katie with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate that as a woman, I somehow feel compelled to take some sort of luggage with me. It used to be just my ID and a chapstick in the pocket of my Levi's, but now I've got to put a phone somewhere. And ladies, pockets are too tiny. Once you've given up and put your phone in a purse, you may as well add all the other crap you could possibly need in case of a zombie takeover. Tissues, sunglasses, pens, lotion, a notebook, Swiss Army knife, of course a corkscrew, lipstick, and bug spray. And that's just the left zipper pocket. I hate carrying daily wear luggage. And you. I hate you too. That's cool.
I keep chapstick in my car.
Why? It's gonna melt.
Well, now you tell me. I had a bad week. You see, what happened is there's, you know, one of the things I like about the Chrysler, there's lots of, like, crevasses and cubby holes where I can hide stuff. Be great if I smoked pot. There'd be a lot of places I could hide marijuana in my car. Okay. But one of the crevasses, I think, is technically designed for a phone. It's sort of a vertical, deeper than it is wider slot next to the gear shift, right?
Hi-yo!
And so I put the chapstick in there, and normally I stand it up. But this week it fell over, and after a 95-degree day, I reached to get the chapstick, and it was just as slippery as a greased pig.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, chapstick goo all over this little crevasse. And I thought,
it's called wax.
Well, it's goo, because it's not just wax. If it was just wax, it wouldn't smear on your lip. It has to have salt. You know what it has to have? Emollients.
Emollients. Probably has sodium lauryl sulfate, the SLS.
And if it does, it's right out.
It's ruining my life, this whole, like, chemical-free crap.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
So anyways, this is episode 57.
Yes, but we can't even say that yet because there's one ingredient you can have in your life, and that is Dude Walkarium.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Indeed, it is a rare Saturday taping of episode number 57 of Cake and Cookies, the Rob and Katie Show. I'm Cake.
And I'm Cookie. Judd just left the room.
Doesn't like the talk of the emollients.
Oh, no. He can't leave the room. He can't go through the curtain.
He doesn't know how to walk through curtains, does he?
If Presley does it, he'll follow. But he won't do it on his own. He's pacing in front of the curtain. Okay, now we're laying down in front of the curtain.
We're going to think about the curtain.
We're going to look at Mom.
Mom's not going to help.
At the curtain. We're going to look at Mom again.
All right, Mom, focus. It's episode 57 of Cake and Cookies, a weekly podcast, sure we can still say that, to show you that your life is not that bad in comparison. Thank you to Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, Matthew Bloom. How about this? Rob Ford.
What? Didn't he win the lottery?
He said he did, but I think it's one of those things that if you comment on it, you get a private message and you have to write something stupid on Facebook. So I just gave him one of these. No, have you ever seen that, like, someone does a post on Facebook like, well, I'm pregnant, or I just use my breasts to get out of a speeding ticket. And the thing is if you comment on it, you get a private message from that person, and you have to make that be your status. It's your penalty for buying into the thing they're trolling. So I think that was his thing. So I just gave him one of these.
So it's like a chain letter, but on Facebook?
Yeah, a chain letter, because who has the time to really do a chain letter nowadays? And stamps are expensive.
I honestly didn't know that this kind of thing existed. I don't.
Well, do you remember a few years ago, or maybe a year ago?
If I see someone make a comment like that, I just don't acknowledge it.
Well, what about the thing about if you get a visitor in the middle of the night and he wants a martini or something, what's the first thing you open? And I think the answer is like your eyes. And if you get it wrong, you have to make your status picture be a giraffe. Didn't you do that?
No.
You didn't do that?
No.
Maybe I spend too much time on Facebook.
Well, I can't say a whole lot. I mean, our listeners really, really came through for us yesterday.
Oh, fantastic. Is Dan within the sound of your yell right now?
Yeah.
Ask him if he knew about the thing on Facebook where you had to make your status picture be a giraffe.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, we'll be right here.
Dan! 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 We need you!
Well, you could just yell it to him.
Oh, that's too hard.
Man,
that's
is that so him? Much, is that him so walking?
I don't like to yell, believe it or not.
It sounds like it.
Oh, Danny Boy.
So ask him, is he there? I can tell, could you look up? It's like the way an average person would see if the ceiling fan is on is the way you look when Dan comes in the room, because you're much shorter than him.
I'm looking at the ceiling fan. It's really Dan.
Now, Dan, ceiling Dan.
Ceiling Dan.
Dan, ask Dan if he remembers a thing on Facebook where if you got a riddle wrong, you had to make your picture be a giraffe.
Yeah.
See? It happened. It's a thing. Thank you, Dan. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Worth the trip in, wasn't it? Stop that.
Interaction I enjoy having.
Did you hear that?
No, we was playing him out. What did he say?
That is the exact amount of interaction that I like to have.
Well, you know what? I will give Dan some credit because he's not always the most participatory spouse in this program. And there are two. So, I mean, at worst, he comes in second. But Carrie...
Nobody's going to beat Carrie.
Carrie, who is not even really a part of the show, has had episodes where she's out-talked me. So, but the thing, Dan did go out of his way to put on headphones and say hello to me today, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
And I'm nice to know he's speaking again. I said, Katie, give Dan the headphones. And he said,
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You have been here during like our, like while we're working.
Yes.
Home. You have heard how loud.
He can be loud. And that was, I found it shocking.
It is.
It's startling.
I can be in my office downstairs.
Right.
He is in his office upstairs with the door closed.
Or as I like to call it, Robert's bedroom.
Yes, Robert's bedroom.
Right.
And I can hear every single word.
Well, he's irate. He's getting things done.
He's not irate, though. He's just obnoxiously loud.
He does.
Oh, and you also have heard
yes.
The correlation between volume and alcohol.
Yes, that is, you know where that first, that was sort of rooted in baseball, too. Because when we were buying the big beers, and it was, it began with, well, first we have to go and get our wristbands, Rob. We have to get our wristband, show our ID so we can buy beer. I said, okay, Dan, let's go. And we get our wristband, and he says, all right, do you want to get a beer? I said, yeah, okay, let's get a beer. So we got a beer each, you know, and they're the tall, like 16-ounce cans. And we have one, and we drink it really fast because it's hot. And when he finishes it, he says, do you want another beer? So we have another, and so we've had two tall beers. And I say, and I'm keeping up with him. I said, you know, beer tastes good at a ball game. I know. Rob, you want another beer? I said, and I reply what I always say. Never ask a spiewak Evie wants another beer. Because it's nobody's goddamn business how many beers he's had already. I might be exaggerating a bit. But it is a correlation of drinks combined, drinks consumed to volume of output.
It's absolutely true. And I will say, Dan's dad.
Yes.
Has the same affliction.
Tendency.
That's good.
I think an affliction is a much more negative connotation. I love when Dan speaks up.
Yeah, it's a tip. Well.
But then it was new to me.
But it's a tendency. And the best is if they've both been drinking and then they call each other.
Oh, God. You know what?
I have to leave the house or make Dan leave the house. Like, you can't have that conversation.
Well, that happens here, too, because, you know, my father has hearing aids. And by the way, we must cure this. No, hearing aids, like, you know, the devices in his ear. It's not an affliction. It's not a disease. It's not an affliction. I probably should have them because I'm on a similar hearing pattern as my father in that I'm losing my middle ground of hearing. So I have a hard time hearing ladies' voices, kids' voices. A lot of times television is right in that sort of middle hearing. I can hear high tones, I can hear low tones, but where you start to lose the voice is sometimes in that middle range. And so he has...
What you're saying is that we've got, like, we're on borrowed time here for the show.
No, because I can turn the headphones up as loud as I want.
Okay.
We'll be A-okay. So... when I get enthusiastic and drinking, and he gets enthusiastic and has a few beers, and we get each other on the phone, I've seen Carrie leave the room when we're talking. And usually there's a, she'll say, can you keep it down? And I'll reply, yes, I can do that.
The thing that drives me crazy is that he'll do it while we're watching a television show of some sort.
Right.
And he doesn't leave the room. This is the worst part. He starts pacing.
So he's on the phone and pacing and yelling?
Yeah. So I'm just like, I have to pause. I can't. Even if he went to another room, it's still going to be Dad, so I caught that game and then I was... Did you see that hit, though?
Fading in and out. Almost worse than if it had been consistent.
Right. Like, if you're not going outside, just stay in the room.
All right. That said, you could not get any work done yesterday because of Facebook.
Oh, man. Did our listeners.
They did a great job by you.
Oh, they knocked it out of the park.
Do you know how many comments you got? That. I'm checking it right now. 193 comments. And over 100 likes. Here, I'm going to read the post because I have it in front of me.
Okay.
And this is yesterday at 1:05 p.m. Hello, CNC Fan Club Factory. Here's the deal. Rob Spiewak, that's me, and I had wonky schedules this week. And schedules will be on at 4 p.m. this afternoon, playing all your favorite hits and getting you home during the Saturday night fight at the lights. We had wonky schedules this week, and we'll record tomorrow, Saturday. With that out of the way, I want to share something with you. Every Friday, I try to pep up my spirits by looking at various dog, cat, animal websites. It's a good way to get through a Friday. Today, though, I'd like to ask you to add pictures of your pet family to this post. As you know, we celebrate our furry family members, and I'd like to see some of yours. I'll start with a pic from the day we brought Judd home, and it's a great picture of both the beagles in t-shirts,
which we don't actually dress them in t-shirts, but
no,
Oxfords.
Just a simple button down, but they're, you know, they're fresh from being rescued, so they have t-shirts on, I suppose.
Well, it was December 21st,
yes, 2012.
It was super cold, and Judd was so smelly that he had to have a bath when we got him home. Like, he just was awful.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's coming from a non-ideal situation to his new home.
He had been returned.
Yes.
And which was fine, but he was very stinky, so we had to give him a bath.
Factory second.
What?
He's a factory second.
Yes.
We returned him.
So he was returned because he was so lonely he stopped eating.
Right.
So you can tell how tiny he is.
He's, little guy,
he
thin.
17 pounds when we got him. And now he averages just around 30. And he's not a fat boy.
Now, the amazing thing is if you go for that percentage from 17 pounds to 30 pounds, that is the same amount percentage-wise weight that I've gained since 2012. But let's not focus on me. It's a great picture you posted where Presley has got, literally, Pretzels has her arm on him. They are sleeping croissant style, nested together. And I thought it was a great idea, and we all love our pets. And so I put up, you know, pretty early on, like maybe in the first 20 or 25 posts, put a picture of Linus's snoot. And
I love a good snoot pic.
I do too.
Up snoot.
Up snoot. It's a snooty instead of a selfie.
Snooty.
But we got 193 posts of people, not just their dogs and cats, even exotic animals.
There was a snake.
Not
I saw a
fan.
Raccoon.
Not a fan I of saw. A snake. Not a fan of a raccoon either, really.
I saw a bunny.
I like bunnies.
There was a dog playing with dinosaurs. Excuse me.
Yes, I've seen it.
I almost called them the wrong thing.
I know. Well, that's what happens when you drink at 140.
Shush.
You shush.
You shush.
So we want to we extend our most vivid thank yous, because it's really great to see that an involved Facebook post like that. Who doesn't love that?
Honestly, I felt like I was walking on sunshine all afternoon yesterday, because just as everyone kept posting their non-traditional family members.
Yeah, and it's so, and I think it just goes to show we share a certain tendency, there's that word again, with our listeners. And you called me this week, or did you text me, when you said, have we, through no fault of our own, become the family-friendly show on the More Network?
Yes, it was this week. I was like, I think we have.
Yeah, we're like a 1970s sitcom. We have dogs. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, because it's good for the whole family. Kids listen with their parents, and we very seldom say anything that is horribly saucy or inappropriate.
I'm very sorry about that. That's all my fault. It always is my fault.
It's
I'm a
fine.
Loose cannon.
Yeah, you're a shock jock. You're like
I have a chip on my shoulder.
Like a 4-foot-tall grease man. Just a little, little shock jock. Mini Stern. But anyway, that said, thank you for all your posts yesterday. And also, while we're on the subject of thank you, I was in the Rob and Joe murder mystery, The Last Laugh, last night.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Was last night, right?
And it was the last performance, because I was talking to Joe. Rob wasn't actually in this performance because he had a stand-up gig.
So it was just the Joe show.
It was the Joe show. But Joe Robinson was there to direct. And Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock, their morning man, was the star. He's extraordinarily funny and a really nice guy.
I met him one time, and I was just thrown off by how nice.
Extraordinarily nice.
Like, you can tell, like within him, he's a kind person.
And I
hate people like that.
Yeah, I know. What an ass.
The worst.
But the thing that threw me is he has listened to the Mike O'Mara show in podcast form, in terrestrial form, going back to the Don and Mike show. And he mentioned...
Well, they've had Mike on their show a few times.
Oh, yeah. And he mentioned a particular bit, and you'll know this bit, because it is the one piece of tape. It's about 25 seconds long that I actually carry with me in my iTunes, because sometimes I need it quickly to reference it. He referenced the fact that at one point we did a bit where Jackie Stallone had her turban full of crab cake.
He talked about that?
And
because you know how I feel about that. That's like my favorite moment ever.
He brought it up on his own. And I said, do you know, I have it in my phone right now. And he thought I was joking. Oh, and I produced my phone.
I dare not joke about that.
And I played that clip for him. You could hear his jaw drop all up and down Columbia Pike. Because he's considerable younger than me.
Yeah.
He said that when he was in high school, one of his final art projects was Erykah Badu, a watercolor he did, with her turban full of crab cake. And I said, come on in, let's hug it out, because this is a great moment.
I don't know
I know, right? Odd a little bit. More than a little bit.
It's a little bit strange.
Well, you know what? He's a disc jockey. We're all strange.
That's true.
And I don't know if it's any stranger. Is it any stranger? Yes. Is it any stranger that he would reference it or that I would carry it around in my pocket for 10 years? I think
or that he was in high school then.
You see, I glossed that. I didn't really want to get
really,
into
that. That fell flat on you? That wasn't
It stuck with me, but I said today I glossed over it because I didn't really want to focus on it. Play back the tape. I said he's considerably younger than us. I said it.
And more successful.
You know, success is organic and hard to measure. But anyway, it was so kind of them to have me. And the neat thing is that I was talking to Joe, and because once a murder mystery show is seen by X number of people, it kind of loses its cachet because people know how it ends.
Right. You have to change it up.
So next month, they're going to debut a new murder mystery show. They had done 5 performances of this one, but they're going to keep the cast together and do a new one. And getting the band back together. And I said, if anything opens up, I'd love to be a part of it again, because it was a blast. It really was
so
cool.
Much fun.
What
did he say? Sure, Rob. Or did he say, sure, Rob?
He said, Rob, success is a relative term. No, he was very open to it. I had an easy part. I had 2 lines that were easily improv'd, and I knew where they went, and I had to heckle the comic, and I had to, I won't spoil the joke, but I had a good punchline in the second act as well, and it was great.
Heckling is easy for you.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Oh, you want me to make fun of people?
Okay.
Sure.
If you insist. And
I made a living of it.
I have something else I want to talk to, but I want to hold off on it because I want to say, are all the lamps in your house present and accounted for?
Since when?
Okay. Good question. Let's not diffuse the topic. Let's say all the lamps from when you moved into your house till now. Same number of lamps?
No.
All right, let's rewind and remind folks from last week. Do you remember the episode with the $20 chicken? Yes. That one. You had a visit from your Aunt Jane when Dan was out of town.
Yep.
And we know you broke a table.
Yeah, with a hammer and a giant ice cube.
And we know that there was a party where you couldn't wear pants or a bra.
I did.
Well, it was not suggested. It was inappropriate. And we also know that...
Darn it, I got dressed.
There was a blackout.
Yes.
And with the visit from Aunt Jane, that's pretty much all we needed to know, right? Nothing else happened.
No.
Really?
Okay, fine. So, yeah. Okay, so I kind of got busted. Well, I didn't actually get busted. I kind of told on myself because I'm an idiot. The morning after the blackout, Aunt Jane and I decided.
And this is an actual, if you're just joining us in progress, if you're getting off a plane right now, this is not a blackout related to the drinking. This is a transformer blew.
Yes.
And there was a literal loss of current, as they say,
loss
down
of power.
South.
Yes. Yes. So the morning after we lost power, power returned. Aunt Jane and I, you know, we'd kind of mosey our way into the kitchen and have some coffee. And I was talking about like where I wanted to hang various pictures and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And do you remember that gigantic painting in the living room that's on the floor?
It was so big. It was so big.
How big was it?
Now listen, I want you, this is wild. It was so big. It was so large that actually it looked like you might have intended to display it by leaning it on the wall on the floor. It was that big. Yes.
Dan is not so handy.
But he can be handsy. I've seen evidence of that.
Yeah, so, but Jane was, like, at this point, we're in the kitchen and we're talking over coffee, and she's talking about how she'd, like, put in some lighting in her house and everything. And I was like, yeah, that's right. You are really handy. I'm pretty handy, too. And she's like, yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure we're sober from the night before.
Okay, let's get to this. Mm-hmm. You had a big night the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You probably were sober. How were you feeling?
I felt fine.
Then you might have still been drunk.
Well, the things that occurred next might lean in that direction.
I understand. And you know what? There's something that you would think magically, if you sleep and wake up, you're sober. It's like they've punched your card and you're clear. But that's not necessarily the case. If you've had enough to drink and you don't get enough sleep, I have woken up the next day and not had the hangover hit me until like noon.
Right. Yeah. So it's probably 9.
Nine.
And we decide that we are handy enough to hang that giant painting.
Okay.
And so we pull out the pieces of the couch. It's a sectional.
Okay, very good.
So pull out the pieces of the couch. I get the ladder. I realize the ceiling is a lot higher than I thought it was.
Well, for you, especially.
Well, in that sort of step down area,
yeah,
the ceiling is really high.
I think it's 10 feet, isn't it?
Oh, no, I think it's more like 12.
Is it really?
Yeah, because the ceiling there matches the ceiling of the rest of the house.
Oh, and then you've got the step down.
And you've got the big step. So it's a high ceiling.
Okay, well, you're going to have to get a really big Christmas tree.
I probably won't get a Christmas tree.
Oh, I forgot, you're Jewish.
On the ladder. What?
I forgot that you were Jewish.
Druish.
Funny, you don't look Druish.
I climb up on the, and it's a tall step ladder, but it is still just sort of a step ladder. Like a step ladder that's like my height.
Okay.
So I'm not a step ladder. I don't know really what, but it's not a ladder.
Yeah, it's a step ladder. Does it have a thing on it that says do not use the top step?
Yes.
I hate that. Because why do they put a top step on there if you can't use it?
No.
Jerks.
It also has a thing for where to put the paint bucket.
Yeah, but
so
you know,
I don't understand. Also, can't stand on that.
Why are we a victim? Why are we all victims of big stepladder? And then we have to all follow their rules. Don't do this. Put this here. Don't sit here. Well, you know what? That's about to change. But let's get back to your story.
I climb up on the stepladder, and we're trying to. I am on the top step.
You can't use it. There's a sticker.
I used it, okay? So I'm on the top step. Aunt Jane is kind of below me thinking she's wobbly, because I am. I am not a graceful person.
No, everybody, you're not.
I'm a faller, and God forbid I fall from like 5 feet up.
Oh, yes.
So I'm like trying to figure, I was like, what do you think about here? Possibly here, you know, and I've got the measuring tape as well.
Sure.
So I'm really trying to be accurate about the whole thing.
Sure.
And
because you've got all of the enthusiastic determination of someone who's legally drunk.
Possibly.
I'm going to make it level, and it's going to be the right height, and it's going to go, and I'm using the top step, and it's going to go right here, Jane.
Perfectly safe. So
Jane, you're handy. I'm handy too.
So I have it exactly where I think I want it. And yes. I was like, what do you think? And she's like, are you steady? And I'm like, yes, right here. What do you think? And she's like, let me go look across the room. So she starts to back up.
Yes.
And she backs into a table.
Yes.
The lamp falls off the table.
Oh,
this is
dear.
After I had already almost knocked it off when I was moving the sofa. Yeah.
I'm just assuming the gender of the lamp is female. Because
okay. I had already saved it once, and I was like, man, I felt so good about that. And then Jane bumps into it. It tumbles over, crash everywhere. And I'm still holding the tape measure.
Yes.
Way up yonder.
Sure.
In that perfect spot. And Jane like looks at the lamp. She looks at me. I look at her. I look at the lamp. And we both just have this kind of, eh.
Right.
Eh.
Right.
And she says, maybe. And I was like, yeah, you know, this might not be the right time for this. So I shimmy down the shimmy down the tape measure. I shimmy myself down the ladder.
I imagine with
cleaner and a brown bag so I can clean up the glass.
And I imagine you're doing it with the utmost care because you've realized already now you may be in over your heads.
Well, here's the thing. I had broken the planting table out back the night before with a hammer and a large piece of ice.
Exactly. I remember
that. Too much enthusiasm, really.
Drunken enthusiasm and determination.
It was hot. I needed some ice.
I understand.
So while we're cleaning up the lamp, I was like, Jane, so between the table, and she's like, Dan's going to think that we've had some sort of like raging drunken party in here. And I'm like, I don't think he's going to think that, but I do think he's going to think that we, between the two of us, have broken a lot of stuff.
Yeah, too much.
Huh?
You broke too much.
Yeah.
Either one of them would have been maybe okay, but both of them together, and it was not spread over like a week and a half. It's a couple days.
There might have been 10 hours in between the two breakages.
Yeah, that's a bad record.
Also, we bought a $20 chicken.
Well, yeah, but that was mostly for the show.
What do you mean for the show? That chicken costs $20.
But you talked about it on the show. It's a tax deduction. It's a business expense.
For Christ's sake.
But, so.
I paid $20. Well, I paid $10. Well,
it was 18-ish. I mean, it wasn't a full 20. You got changed back
like 1847?
So, how did you out yourself on the painting? Lamp. I love lamp.
Yesterday, I love lamp. Yesterday, Dan goes to plug in his phone behind that table where the lamp had disappeared, and I don't think he would have ever noticed that it had disappeared.
Right.
And he moves the table, and I was like, oh, careful with that.
That's
where I broke the lamp.
You know what, Alice?
I didn't even think about it.
You have got a big mouth.
I do.
You really did. He wouldn't have ever known.
And he looks at me, and he's like, what lamp? And I was like, I don't know. And then he looks around the room, and he goes, yeah, we're missing a lamp. I don't know that he like was committed to that we had were missing a lamp, or if he was just trying to get information out of me.
He was baiting and switching.
Right.
Wait a minute. Did he know at that time about the table too?
Oh, I mean, the table was obvious. There's he can't miss the table.
The big shards of stuff in the backyard, jagged.
Well, okay, no, it's a potting table, planter's table. Sure. I don't know what it's called. So it's up high,
uh-huh.
And it's made of probably 16 by 16 tiles.
Okay. Now that's 16.
I broke the center tile. Like, there's just a big hole in the middle of the table.
Now, you see, if I had that and I had a big hole in the middle, I would put Paul Linden there. And I would say, Paul Linden blocked.
Just put like a big plant over it. No one would ever know. A plate. Anything.
You have got to stop drinking.
No,
you can drink all you want. Don't break things.
It's good for the show.
It is. It's great for the show. So stop breaking things. And if you do break them, don't talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I have traded, you know how I fall a lot?
Yes.
I haven't fallen in a really long time. I've just started breaking things, which makes me think that maybe I'm breaking my fall.
Breaking your hip.
Breaking stuff.
Breaking bad. Breaking away.
Breaking away.
Breaking to Electric Boogaloo.
I can't. I don't think I can play this game. I don't know anything with breaking.
Well, breaking news, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about how depressed I am for a stupid reason and something magical I found in my computer.
Okay.
You excited?
Always.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a lamp, send it to Katie Forbes Powers Von Lamp, care of the Mike O'Mara Show, and we'll be back after this. You having a good time over there?
No.
Yeah. Well, laugh loud. Okay. We're great because we are all American. That was easy. I'm such a jerk. Segment two, and who can blame me? It is Cake and Cookies. We're back. But you see, because we're not on the radio anymore, no one's gone. We don't need to welcome them back. They just stay through the commercials and they wait for me to hit this button.
He's Cake. She's Cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Laughing dude.
But you really should take pity on me.
Why? Oh, because you're sad.
I am sad.
I know you're sad. I saw your Facebook, your profile update. You're sitting like in the dark with your tuxedo on.
I know. It's really drinking.
I know, drinking.
It was one of the last great telethons when I actually, they gave me access to the KCJJ chat room and they let me watch the telethon and chat with people. And drink, and yeah, I wore a tuxedo, and it was really great, and Jerry's not...
How long did it take you before you started crying?
Hour four.
Hour four.
But it was,
The truth comes out.
It's tough. I mean, for a guy that watched every telethon, every hour of every telethon, going back to the mid-1980s, it is it's a void in my life, and it also became sort of my first signature keystone bit on the radio was my tapes and analysis of the Jerry Lewis telethon. Granted, the Don and Mike show would never get to them until January, but right. I would prepare them every year, and also that was a weird thing where everyone else was like vacationing on Labor Day.
Rob.
Yes?
That's not the weird thing about all of this.
What's the weird thing?
Rob.
What?
Nobody really, like, broke down an analysis of the telethon. Like, that's the weird thing.
No, that's what needed to be done. That's the thing. That's the good
like,
thing.
I know what it would take for you to put that, like, effort into not just watching the telethon, but, like, cutting up, like, quote-unquote, high...
Highlights.
Highlight reel.
Well, yeah, and it's 21 and a half hours. So, I mean, it was not an easy job to do it. And like I was saying...
I took that burden upon myself.
I think it was something important I used to do. And what needs to be said and understood is the fact...
Is it satire? Or you? I think you mean it.
What?
Never mind. I didn't even go there. Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
What needs to be said is that... I did truly love it, and I thought it was important that we had it ready to go, but while everyone else was having fun and vacationing on Labor Day, starting at dinner time on Sunday, going into Tuesday, I was spoken for. I was watching and taking notes and cutting up. Now, keep in mind, I used to watch all 21 hours back in the day before I even had a VCR. I'd have to pull an all-nighter. I'd make a wreck of myself watching this thing. Then, with the VCR, what I would do is put in the tape, let it go for 6 hours, then put in another tape, and then go back and review the other one. At least that way I could get some sleep. Because mm-hmm. I would tend to skim the local cutaways and the taped pieces that I'd seen over and over again. Then when you get to the DVR age, then you're in good shape. However, one thing that did complicate it was when I first got cable television in the mid-80s, mm-hmm. I would be monitoring the local feed, the WGN feed out of Chicago, and the WOR feed out of New York City. Because there were, you know, different things at different times. And so there was so much to see. And I just knew that, you know, Labor Day, everyone knows it's traditionally the end of summer, the beginning of school. But to me, it always meant some time with Jer. And the last vestige of real show business. And it was 21 and a half hours for me. And then, all right, I'm not going to get on a stepladder, but I'm going to get on a soapbox just for a second. The man raised over $1 billion. Billion with a B. That's the extra B in Rob. Did you know that? ROBB, yes. The extra B stands for the $1 billion that Jerry Lewis raised for MDA, and then he was unceremoniously shown the door. Goodbye, Jer. Nothing. Out
well,
the door.
He might have fallen off of a stepladder or two.
Was he on the top step? Okay, so there might have been some missteps at the end.
You think?
However, it should have been handled.
What do you think was the final, I don't want to say nail in the coffin.
Too soon.
What do you think was the final misstep for Mr.
I think it would probably have a lot to do with various yet consistent references to Adolf Hitler, mm-hmm. and calling his floor director Eva Braun. That I think that was missed. Also, certain politically incorrect phrases had been used, whether it referred to someone's sexual preference or perhaps their religion. But I don't wish to defend the things that he said that were wrong, but I'm saying that he should have had a more graceful exit from the telethon than what happened in real life, and the telethon should have orchestrated it and assisted it with it. They have a tremendous PR department, I'm sure. All big charities do. And
can you take your headphones off for a minute and let me speak to the audience?
I'm going to ultimately hear it, you know, but go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, Rob is here. Are my headphones hitting the table?
Okay, Rob has his headphones off, and for all of those of you that are still listening, I'd like you to know that Rob and I did not discuss that we were going to talk about the telethon. It's not something that I really think people want to hear about, although Rob's eccentricities really shine when he talks about the telethon. So we're going to let this go this one time, but come this time next year, I'm not going to let this happen to you. I promise. I'm waving at the monitor now so he can put his headphones. Hey, Robbie, can you hear me now?
I'm back.
And now, the national chairman of making fun of the Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon, Rob Spiewak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Show business, Katie.
So
this
do
what
you
it
feel
is.
That this was your biggest bit of the year, or do you feel that Elvis Death Day is the biggest bit of your year? Back in the day,
I will say this was probably my first cornerstone bit, because the Elvis Death Day bit preceded my participation on the show. That was there before I got there. I think I did a lot of stuff and brought a lot of stuff to the Elvis show. And, you know, Elvis is important, but the thing is that I think long after everyone else stopped paying attention to Jerry, that's when we really, really started to make it happen.
Let's be clear. I don't think there's a we.
Oh, no. I believe that there is a segment of the population that enjoyed it very much. However, It required the burning of midnight oil to make it happen.
Because I know, you would stay up for like 2 days.
Yeah, to make sure it was done.
One full day to watch the darn thing whilst taking notes, and then day two to go back and cut up your clips.
Because it went until 6 o'clock on Monday.
I know.
It's just, I'm going to have a void in my life this weekend because it's not going to be there. It hasn't been there for a few years, and I start feeling it. And I will, of course, do my campaign as I always do. And I invite you to participate. And that is tomorrow, which is Sunday. Please change your Facebook status picture to Jerry Lewis for a day.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Let's raise awareness of the man who I'll be seeing.
Of the man or of
the cause.
Okay, thank you. That's different.
Well, no, it's not, because
it is completely different.
Do you think they would have raised $1 billion without his unfailing dedication to the cause? The telethon really...
I get it. You cannot separate the two.
I can't.
I get it. No one should.
He really, really dedicated a major portion of his life to it. And really, the thing that pisses me off is that he was kicked out. And he was not, and I understand.
Yeah, okay, now here's the thing.
For the good of changing things.
Stories of how hard it was to work with him.
Oh,
you have seen him like lose his.
Yeah.
On air. Do you think that when they said, now, Jerry, this is going to be your last year, blah, 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 blah. Do you really think he was like, oh, okay, sure. This is going to be great. Or do you think he said, fuck you, Ava Braun.
I think it might have been a little of that.
He wasn't necessarily known for taking twists and turns.
Yeah, he wasn't a patient man. Yeah.
No. And you feel a certain emptiness in your life.
And I see a lot of things going away. And if it's not the telethon, it's the David Letterman show, which is really was the last hurrah of the Tonight Show because Johnny begat Dave. And even though Dave was a little more hip, that was still like the last of the old school nighttime talk shows. The times are changing, and I don't necessarily, I like some of the new stuff. The iPhone is very nice. Computers have mice. That's nice. You can move the cursor everywhere. But you know the Ed Sullivan Show isn't even on TV anymore.
What?
I know. Where have you been?
Shocking.
Where have you been? So yeah, call me a fool. Label me a rube. Say that I'm a hapless, old-fashioned guy. And no one knows old-fashioned better than me. However,
I haven't said any of those things.
But I know what they're thinking. They, meaning them. The people who are not listening to this podcast anymore. They're saying, what a jerk. But what can I say? I can't apologize for me.
I already apologized for you.
Oh, is that what you said when I had my headphones off?
Sure did.
Atta girl. Got my back. So
I got your back, Rob, even if you don't know it.
Even though they treated Jerry like garbage, if you have an opportunity.
He might have treated some people like garbage, too.
He's earned that right. How about that?
Has anyone really earned the right to be nasty?
It's my first name's not Baby. It's Jerry. And it's Mr. Lewis if you're nasty.
I just took a sip of water.
Hey, lady. Lady.
Hey, lady.
Jerry would do that spit take too. So, all right, take his personality out of it. Here's the deal. I love the institution of the telethon. I love show business. I love the fact that the telethon was about using show business for good. I love that. I love the schmaltz.
That actual like format of the telethon has been used in recent times, even so much as like Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, of course.
PBS still uses it.
But even if it is out of date or sort of a throwback, I will always associate it with the fact that that is something that I love. Entertainment using itself to do something good. And if you really get, you really want a taste of some of the classic telethon moments, it was about 1 year ago today that I posted a bonus Cake and Cookies show that was not an official one.
No, because you didn't ask me about it.
It was just me with some of my favorite Jerry tapes. So check that out on our website. So that's why I'm depressed. I miss Jer. I'll see him in October, though, and I'll get to ask him a question. And I think the question is going to be, why does Katie hate you so much?
I don't hate him.
I know.
But you could watch just old Jerry stuff.
Yeah, but the telethon is what I want. I want to see the telethon. I want to see Ed. I want to see Ed. I want to see Norm Crosby. I'll be over here if you need me, Jerry.
If I like hour like 15, Ed's like, and now.
Oh yeah, Ed decays.
Yeah. That's
another part of it is the fact that it's like a marathon, and to see these broadcasters go that long, I still remember watching one of the most successful telethons financially. Was the 1987 MDA telethon. And the closing with Jerry and Sammy Davis Jr. singing the Jolson medley and looking and seeing that tote board continue to go up. And then Sammy singing Birth of the Blues and the crowd rocking. And then Jerry comes out and he sings You'll Never Walk Alone and loses it with the tears streaming down his face. And it's schmaltzy and it's show business. And it's, I've got goosebumps right now just talking about it because it's what show business can be. And what do we have? Kanye running for president. I'll take the old stuff. Thank you.
I have to tell you, if I didn't tell you this, I would be doing our friendship a disservice.
All right.
Listening to you talk about it like that does kind of give me a little bit of chill.
It's
true. I get it in the how it's the showbiz, you know, mm-hmm. it's the big thing. We don't get those with like award shows anymore. No. We don't get that with really anything.
Because everything showbiz now is auto-tuned, even if it's not singing. The comedy is auto-tuned. The audience is auto-tuned. Everything is controlled, and the feuds are controlled, and there's nothing real anymore. And you know what? I've gone on much too long. I apologize. But it means a lot to me, and I'm half of this podcast, and I guess that's why I've devoted half of this episode to talking about why I'm a ridiculous fool. So let's move on with something.
Sorry you're sad.
I will get through it. I shall persevere. I have something that will make you happy. Well, it makes me happy.
I was already happy.
Money will never make you happy, and happy will never make you money. However, I went through my iTunes, and I was trying to pick out jingles for today's show, and I found one for KNBR, which is San Francisco, I think 68 on your AM dial, and I realized it wasn't just a jingle. It was an entire package. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have one, grab your package and enjoy this one in which I call 68 by the Golden Gate, KNBR.
On 68 by the Golden Gate, KNBR, music's great.
Beautiful.
Oh my God, that's so happy. I want to know, like, when you find these great jingles and you play them, it always makes me wonder what the song next would
That'd be playing into.
Right.
The jingles are 1967, so any of these could be going into Sgt. Pepper. All right, here's this one is just called 68 KNBR.
San Francisco's KNBR 68.
Now this one is...
I mean, there's like full... orchestration there.
And to be fair, they don't even need the orchestra. Listen to these acapellas. We'll start with a slow one.
K-N-B-R.
Or perhaps a medium.
K-N-B-R.
Or maybe you're in a hurry.
K-N-B-R.
That's just voices.
I just want you to take note. Like, okay, so yes, you can absolutely like be like, wow, the first soprano in there is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? That's not even bass. It's like lower than bass.
It's like a rumble. Bass. Yeah, it's like a rumble. But it's a guy.
And you know he's like 4.5 feet tall.
Let's hear him.
You know he's just a little fella.
Let's hear him one more time.
K-N-B-R.
That's fantastic. That's so
amazing
cool.
Amazing is now, what that is.
This next jingle is one I had never heard before. Now, a donut jingle is one you cannot play if you have diabetes. But also, a donut jingle has a singing and then a music bed and then it sings out. A lot of times, jingles like this will be used at the top of the hour.
You're supposed to talk in between.
And it's called a donut. Now, this is... I believe there are four donut holes in this one because I think every disc jockey in every day part has an opportunity to talk. If I'm explaining it poorly, I think you'll understand it when you hear it.
Bigger, brighter sounds around the clock. Early in the morning.
So the morning guy would talk here, okay?
He's an old smoothie.
So I guess the old smoothie is the midday guy. Like, this would be Liddy.
It's splendiferous.
PM Drive. Hi, I'm Cake.
And I'm Cookie.
Kicks right up to 6.
Oh, Kicks after 6. Obviously a music show in the evening.
He's the most happy fella.
He's the most happy fella. So he's like 10 to 2.
Nighttime.
And the listening is easy.
On San Francisco's KNBR.
It's like a Beach Boys record.
I want that nighttime shift, and I want to go by like Annabelle.
Yes.
Annabelle, and I'll be taking you right into the morning.
No.
All night long.
Have you ever heard a jingle like that?
No, that's the coolest thing ever. Well, no, what's really interesting is that is still something that it sort of plays true for radio today as far as the day parts go.
Yes.
Is that in the morning, you kind of want the really peppy thing.
Right.
Okay? Middays are
vanilla.
Taking you through the day. You're kind of chugging along. Afternoons are picking you right back up to get you home. Then you've got that music that the, what was it?
Kicks after six.
Kicks
yeah.
Kicks after six, right? So, you know, you're making dinner, you're doing all your stuff in the evening, and then you're smoothing it out.
That's right. That's when everyone's boning.
Oh, Rob!
Hey, they had sex back then. They did.
Okay.
But that's what you want, because they're playing like sexy. It was like they were doing summertime.
Yeah. But still, we're family friendly.
That's true. I forgot. Who do you think you are? Tony Perkins? Did you know?
That's what's interesting is that actually holds true today.
Absolutely.
For radio stations is like the different day parts are supposed to get you through different parts of the day. It absolutely makes sense when you say it out loud, but I don't know that many people think about it.
But it's true.
That jingle encompasses all of it. I love it. Can you?
You want to hear it one more time?
I do.
Bigger, brighter sounds around the clock. Early in the morning.
Get you going.
Yeah.
He's an old smoothie.
G. Gordon Liddy.
Checking you through the midday.
Right.
It's splendiferous.
I don't know if that's a word.
Splendiferous? Probably.
Kicks right up to six.
It's the Grease Man. Kicks after
dancing.
Six.
Yeah, dancing in your kitchen.
He's the most happy fella.
I'm Felix Grant.
Nighttime. And the listening is easy. Oh, on San Francisco's KNBR.
I have no idea what format KNBR is now or if they even exist. I imagine they're probably news talk. They might be Spanish or Korean. A lot of AM stations and big markets have gone to foreign language programming. I would love for if anyone listens to our show in San Francisco and they're realizing that the Korean station used to have jingles that played like this, please send us a note. Now, did you know that San Francisco, one of their nicknames is Baghdad by the Bay?
No, I no.
Because, and I Googled it, because I heard the lyrics to this jingle, and I said, a what? And because of its multicultural nature and its exotic flavor with, you know, Chinatown and all the different aspects, they actually called San Francisco Baghdad by the Bay.
San Francisco's KNBR.
Long talk out on that one.
That is flipping orchestration.
It's gorgeous.
That is not just like a jingle. That is a song.
And you know what? If you wanted to focus on beautiful music, here's their top hour legal ID.
Beautiful music on KNBR, San Francisco.
I could listen to these all day.
I don't want to tell you what KNBR is now.
What is it?
Let's take a guess.
Is it sports talk?
Yeah.
So do they ever have emphasis?
Emphasis, emphasis, emphasis on KNBR.
I don't know why they would have that jingle.
I have no idea.
Do they ever, when they're talking, I guess they probably talk a lot about the 49ers and the Giants.
Giants. You also have the Oakland A's. You have the Raiders and...
Oh, yeah, because they serve the Oakland market
as well. The 49ers, right.
Do you think they ever send their sports programming out with love?
From San Francisco with love, KNBR.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention the Giants.
The Giant of the Golden West. KNBR.
This one has to be a morning show jingle.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio.
Oh, it's a donut jingle, too.
San Francisco's KNBR.
Now, before I play this one, you have to know I know how backward and politically incorrect this is. I know that already. But
oh, I don't want to. Don't do it.
In a way, I think they're probably paying tribute to the housewife of San Francisco by putting her in the Housewife Hall of Fame.
San Francisco's KNBR, Housewife Hall of Fame.
The Housewife Hall of Fame.
Oh.
But you know, it's not like they didn't want women to work. They saluted women in the workforce by having the KNBR Secretary of the Day.
It's time to salute our Secretary of the Day on San Francisco's KNBR.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Now, honey, your Secretary of the Day, get Daddy a cup of coffee.
Make Daddy a drink.
That's right. And you know what? Maybe the secretary is young at heart.
San Francisco's KNBR, young at heart.
Pretty. It's ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous KNBR.
Okay, we're running out of ideas
what?
Now. I know. It's you can do it too. Say it. Say that it's ubiquitous.
It's ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous KNBR.
Sam. Oh,
no, their diction.
It's perfect.
Ubiquitous.
Do we need emphasis?
Emphasis on the right syllable.
Emphasis on KNBR.
It's time to have fun.
Can I give you a little bit of history about KNBR?
Yes, please do.
All right. It began, it was born on April 17th, 1922.
Wow.
As KPO, and it was a 100-watt station owned by the Hale Brothers department store, and it was actually located in the store.
Oh, so probably almost like a sales gimmick.
In 1927, it became an affiliate of the NBC radio network.
Wow.
And in 1933, it was actually sold to NBC's parent company.
It shows that they really had a giant reach.
The giant reach
of KNBR.
KNBR, yours truly.
Yours truly, KNBR. KNBR. KNBR.
Love those.
Oh God, we must. Oh God, look at the clock.
Yeah, you were the one that kept saying I want to keep it to an hour, and then you did like 57 minutes on how sad you are about the telethon.
Well, you know,
and
what,
now you're playing jingles.
Yeah, but you know what, you're looking at me smile. I cured myself, huh?
Hey, look at
so
you.
So there's something. That's something. That's good.
I want you, every time you feel just a little bit sad and you think, maybe I should go put on my tuxedo, I want you to sit down and just put your finger on those little buttons. Just push that button.
You know what? I think I need a smile right now.
San Francisco's KNBR.
Better. Now all we have to do is answer some questions.
I would like that very much.
And then I'll go tie my bow tie. I think I may sleep in my tuxedo tonight.
Stay away from it.
You think it's a bad move?
I think it's a bad move. I think that's what, if you lay down in your bed in your tuxedo, I think Carrie will walk in, walk right back out, and call the squad. I believe I have a dead man in my house. Oh, yeah, he's my husband. I'm pretty sure he's taking a trip to the big man.
Okay, that settles it. Julia, hide all the cummerbunds.
Either that or to make sure she knows you're not dead, make sure you put your CPAP on. If you're wearing your mask, she'll know you're still alive.
They'll find the body. He was wearing a CPAP and cufflinks. It was...
and an untied bow tie.
What a bizarre death scene. All right, your questions. We will entertain your questions.
Isn't that how you want to go? It's way better than Elvis.
Yes, it is. Face down in a plush pile carpet is not the way I want to go.
Face down, pants down.
You see, that's ugly. That's hateful.
Dance off, woo!
Hateful. We will entertain your questions, and hopefully you too, when we return with everyone's favorite ubiquitous radio show, it's Cake and Cookies.
Ubiquitous K-N-B-R.
And because we haven't had enough jingles lately, here's another one of my favorites. This is what I call a high-low double shout.
George
Michael.
No one better than King George. Segment three, if you stayed with us, any chance anyone is listening?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Not even with my apology.
I can't wait to hear what you said. I really got to start listening to the show. You know who listened to this show this week?
I heard.
Carrie Lynn got on the phone and hit the thing and put it through the thing and...
Well, she's been driving all over.
She's been driving everywhere, and her comment was, tell Katie to wear her hat.
And now here's the cake man and the cookie mistress, Rob and Katie.
And that is, it's not lost on me. She probably didn't like the show, but she wanted to have a fact ready to prove she had listened to the show.
She liked my part of the show.
Of course she did. Because everyone does.
It's not my fault, Rob.
Oh, you're
I'm
cursed.
Likeable.
You're cursed with likability.
I'm downright lovable.
Are you?
You're hateful.
You're the one that talked about Elvis in the last segment, and God knows what you said in the apology. God
knows.
I
know what I said about the telethon, and I know what I said about Elvis, and I know that they were hateful. And Robbie, I'm sorry.
You know what was really hateful, though? I think you've earned that because I was the one that did a whole episode with you when you were on pain pills.
I know. That was hateful, Robbie.
That was really hateful. Hey, you know what? We used this last week, but let's use it again this week. We do love getting your correspondence. Oh, yes, your letters.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
Oh, yes. It's our segment we call Getting to Know You, in which you write us, we read it, and try to offer you some sort of answer that you appreciate. Transition.
W-A-B-C.
Into this.
Getting to know you.
I have an issue.
What?
With the letter song. As much as I love it.
Yes.
It has a doorbell in it. And we discussed DBs last week.
You mean this?
Rob!
Grandma!
Get your big old finger away from that button!
All right, what if...
I am the listener's friend.
You are. And you're likable.
I am the friend of all animals, great and small.
That animal is great and small.
It's both.
Like a hamster. Not sure how to say this name. It looks to me like something spelled backwards. The name is Jal Jim Ravit.
What?
Certain words to me, when I see them, they look like they're spelled backwards. Like Axarben is very common to see in the Midwest. It's Nebraska spelled backwards. Or if you see...
Oh, like Tunlaw Street.
Yes. Amerinanab. You know that's Bananarama, spelled backwards.
Okay, or go on.
Yes. So Jal Jim Ravit writes, my husband... Oh, it's a lady. My husband got me a copy of Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life for my birthday today after I raved about the show you did on the subject back in
April.
Happy
birthday.
Indeed, happy birthday. Any other iconic albums I should add to my collection? Now, I'm wondering if she's talking vinyl or just compact discs here.
Right, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Pet Sounds.
Huge, Sgt. Pepper's.
obviously.
Fun to listen to. And whether it be vinyl or compact disc, RCA has just put out a remaster of Elvis's first Gold Records album, which is called Elvis's Golden Records. Fun to listen to, and it sounds excellent. Thriller, I think, is required listening. And I like Grease. I think Grease is a fun album.
Yeah, I think that's a great... That is a great starting point.
And so get on the... you know what? You can find most of them new on Amazon through the Mike O'Mara Show link. And if it comes up as a dry hole, you'll pardon the expression, you can always go on eBay and pick them up. But don't pay too much for shipping, because that's how they try to get you. Brenna Ringling, who is just... a vision of adorable. She is so cute. She writes to us, this was my first of high school. I'm guessing week. This was my first week of high school, and I've been through one or two embarrassing moments already.
Oh, no.
Any that you would like to share over the whole of the CNC podcast interweb? I can't think of any horribly embarrassing moments in high school right off. I'm sure there was thousands of them, but none jump right out at me.
I don't know how to narrow mine down. I have two.
Okay,
go ahead. I can give you two right off the bat, both in my freshman year.
All right. This is great because I don't have one in particular. I'll give you both.
Oh, right. I'm sure nothing embarrassing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Nothing.
To you, Rob.
The moment started in high school and is continuing to this very moment.
It's called my life.
Exactly.
Let's see. So I was in show choir. And I remember in freshman year, we were rehearsing this song called Shine Something. I don't know.
There's a shine on your shoes, a melody. No.
Rob, it's not from the 1910s, okay? Just stop.
It'd be the 30s, but okay.
I am short. I was even shorter then, and I was obviously, I tended to be in the front, probably.
Sure.
On the end for the sake of symmetry, okay? And as one would just naturally think that choreography would go with shine is, you know, big sort of jazz hands and a big arm swoop.
Sure.
To the right, to the left.
Yeah.
Shine to the right. Now, I am on stage right.
Okay.
I take my right arm and I dig deep with my jazz hands and I go up with a big... big ol' shine, and I shined myself right off the edge of the stage.
You fell off the stage?
Right off the edge of the stage. And I will never forget my choir teacher running over to me. And I mean, because I owned that shine all the way to the floor.
Sure.
And I'm like 3 feet up because I'm up on the stage.
Right.
And she just comes over to me and she's like, are you okay? Like, she can't even not laugh while she's asking me if I'm okay. And she's a professional woman.
Yeah. And the one in, she's the one in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The one that's going.
I was fine. I think I was shining so hard that like my shine like caught me. I really don't know.
But no injury, no harm, no foul.
I derailed everything though, and because I was in the front,
yes,
everyone on stage saw it happen.
There's no hiding that.
Behind me.
There's no hiding it.
And there's just a couple of people watching the rehearsal, and of course they saw me because you just I apparently what happened was I was there, and then I was gone.
What happened? Where is she? I don't know. Don't know. You know what? You reminded me of what my moment was.
We
had a one-act play my freshman year that was based on a radio play, and it was done in the style of Reader's Theater, which means that essentially there was risers and three rows of desks, and when you played your part, you turned around, faced the audience, and when you weren't doing your part, you turned around and you weren't facing the audience. Mm-hmm. Now, even though it's called Reader's Theater, you are not supposed to read. You have your part memorized. And everything had gone well until our first performance in front of the school. And I had a French monologue. And I turned and I just, I don't know if I was in a bad mental frame of mind or I was just bothered by the fact that I was doing it in front of a crowd for the first time. I mean, I'm a kid. I'm ninth grade. My mind locks. And I can't improv French because It's another language.
We?
Snails? And then, so it was...
Escargot?
Escargon? It was... It was mortifying because there was no way out of it. I think I mumbled a little something and then turned around. And it was so, so horrifying and embarrassing. And it was, you know, among the theater group, everyone is very supportive and, you know, it could happen to anyone type deal. But around the rest of the school, you know, I did that in front of, you know, 600 other students. So that was not great. However, there is a happy ending to the story is that we eventually won that one act festival, or as we used to call it, festival. We won the festival. And we were one of three plays that got to perform at Wolf Trap, the awesome. Center for the Performing Arts. And the night I performed at Wolf Trap, for some reason, it really killed. I got all the words right, and the audience, it's just sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And it was great to do it in front of a real crowd and get it right. But
parlez-vous, Francois.
But man, falling off a stage, I might take falling off a stage over... over forgetting your lines in front of 600 students?
Yeah, mine was just in rehearsal.
Oh, so that's... Yours hardly counts.
I mean, there's a lot of people at that rehearsal.
I know, and besides, yours really did put you in physical peril. So, oh, and you had one other.
I could have really hurt myself.
You had one other.
I don't know how I didn't get hurt.
Because you're so likable.
Right.
Do you have another one? You said you had two.
I did, and I don't remember what the other one was now.
Well, let's move on, though. Go ahead.
So my mom taught at the high school.
We've discussed this.
And maybe I mentioned this. Did I mention the time that she turned me in for skipping?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my God, Rob. This is, like, the best, worst story of my life.
Okay.
It was in the spring of my freshman year. So we were wrapping up freshman year, and I was supposed to have drama class for eighth period.
Right.
And our teacher had been sick for a week. So there had been a substitute. She came in, and we watched The Taming of the Shrew. And there was a teacher's aide, and he was a senior.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there really wasn't anything, like, we were just friends. Everyone else in the class was really kind of dorky and was just taking the class for the easy grade.
Sure.
I took drama because, like, I wanted to take drama. I wanted to take theater. And so we watched The Taming of the Shrew.
The Liz Taylor version?
Yes, the Liz Taylor version. And I was walking out to the drama building, which you had to kind of walk through the parking lot.
Right.
Now, little backstory. My mom had taken a personal day that day.
So she wasn't even on campus as far as you knew.
She had a date with, like, a bag of M&Ms and Oprah. Like, that was all that was going on.
Okay.
So I knew that my mom wasn't there. I knew that my teacher wasn't going to be there for drama class. So I asked the teacher's aide, and we're walking, like, out through the parking lot to the drama building.
Right.
And I said, so what are we doing today? We finished the movie yesterday. And he said, ugh, yeah. We're supposed to start the movie over again.
Watch it again?
Yes.
Lazy.
The Liz Taylor version. Ugh. Recorded off a TV, played on a VCR.
But this version, she's married to a different guy.
So we kind of look at each other. We don't say anything, and we just kept walking. We walked right out to his truck and got in the truck, and we had 48 minutes. And he was like, how about we just make left turns? And I was like, okay. So I'm not joking. We listened to the Beatles and drove around for like 45 of the 48 minutes, drove back to the high school. He dropped me off so I could go in and, like, catch my bus.
Right.
And I mean, that was it. That was legitimately all that happened.
All right, question.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of romantic chemistry on either side with this guy?
Not then.
Not then. Okay.
I did develop a crush on him, but not then.
Okay.
I can honestly say it was 100% innocent.
Okay. Just good.
Don't want to watch that movie again.
I understand.
So he drops me off and I walk in, and my best friends, Carl and Melissa, are standing at the door when I walk in, and Carl is just a disaster. And he's like, Katie, I swear to God, your mom has been calling your name, squawking over that intercom for the past hour. You have got to go to the office. You got to go to the office, and you got to go there right now.
Oh,
and
I was, my God.
My mom's not here today. Good one, guys. And Melissa's like white.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Now these kids, they have known me since I was like 6 years old. Melissa is just white, and she goes, Katie, he's serious. And at that moment, I hear, would Katie Forbes please come to the office right now? Katie Forbes to the office.
Then you turned white.
And it's my mom.
Not
it's
good.
It's my mom. So I leaned up against the wall of the stairwell, and I just slid to the ground. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And Carl goes, I'm pretty sure you have to go to the office. I think you have to go to the office. Your mom, she says she's in the office. And I was like, shut up. And I didn't say anything. I couldn't speak.
Right.
But Melissa like punches Carl on the arm and is like, stop it. Can't you see we're in disaster mode? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And Melissa's like, you can probably come stay at my house for a while. So I'm standing there and I'm talking to the two of them. And what I don't know is that the health teacher who has the room at the end of the building
right.
saw me and Jason walk out.
Okay.
And also saw us walk in. So when she saw us walk in, she ran down to the office where my mom had been calling me for an hour. Katie Forbes is in flipping trouble and Mrs. Cheney is mad. And the worst part about it is I'm like playing all of this through in my head in the span of like 2 minutes tops. And I'm thinking, this is the worst thing I could possibly have done because she's embarrassed. I'm her kid. I have broken the rules seriously. And everyone in the school knows it.
So what did you do?
I went to the office and my mom is standing there just smiling, talking to the secretary. She's just... Yay. But there is like a demon behind her eyes and she just keeps talking and I'm just standing there and there is a fire inside of my stomach of like, I'm going to be consumed. I don't feel good telling the story.
I think everyone feels a little ill right now.
Mom looks at me with this like crazy eyed smile from talking to the secretary. She's like, so I took the day off today. And I thought maybe you might like to go shopping for eighth period, you know, with me, your mom. I thought we could go shopping, but you weren't here. I mean, I have no response.
Of course, and there's nothing you can say or do.
Nope. And she says, go get in the car right now. Okay. So at this time, we had a big like van.
Yes.
Okay, so I go, like your Tahoe, there's like the third seat.
Third
so
row, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to the third seat. That's just where I belong. I'm going to the third seat. So I go sit in the third seat of the car, and it's a really warm spring day, which is kind of like the catalyst for everything.
Right.
It was just that really good first day of spring where
the last thing you want to do is be at school.
Even my mom played hooky that day.
True, but she's allowed to.
We didn't have, like, I was 14, 15, and we did not have a good relationship. So she's like, happy as a lark comes decide she wants to take me shopping?
Weird,
right? These
are
not things that we did.
Right.
She gets in the driver's seat, and she's like, so, I don't think anyone told you that you could sit in the back seat now, did they? Get up here. And everything that she says, my voice just squeaked. Everything that she says ends with right now.
Well, you better act quick, baby.
I scurried like a bunny right up to that front seat and hopped in there, and I buckled my seatbelt because, God help me, I had to ride home with her.
Buckle your seatbelt right now.
We get home, and I go to my room.
Right.
And
start writing up your will.
I essentially stayed in my room for like 3 months without ever being told that I was grounded.
So you did like a self-grounding.
I also found out my mom like wrote up the forms and turned me in for skipping school. So I had Saturday school for the rest of the school year.
Wow.
Which sucked.
Yeah, I guess so.
8 a.m. every Saturday for the rest of the school year.
So you miss the Smurfs.
And the shirt tails. Really love those shirt tails.
They're funny characters. Animated.
So that was like May. We right. were almost back to school. I knew that like I had started going to like band camp. I like came home from band camp and instead of just going straight to my room again, I sat down on the couch and I turned on the TV and my mom walks through the living room and she says, "Do you really think you're ready for that?"
Wow.
I was like, "I guess not." And I just went back to my room.
So how long before things were back to normal, or are they back to normal?
I don't think they're back to normal. Oh, I'm still not sure that I'm allowed to turn on the TV.
Well, if anyone is hearing this show, do not tell Katie's mom that she watches TV all the time. All right, let's blow through some of these quick.
Okay, I'm sorry that took so long.
No, but God, I can only imagine. Oh, and she was pissed.
The bad freshman year.
This is from Louis Warren. What is your favorite liquor that you don't normally drink, and why don't you drink it more often? For me, it would be rum. Because the way I like a rum drink is complicated, and it usually involves a Chinese restaurant recipe with, like into a Mai Tai or some incredibly fey drink. I do love those fruity rum drinks, but I don't have the wherewithal to make them at home.
I don't deny myself anything.
Oh, well, that's nice. Hugh Quinn writes, is it better to love and lose or never to love at all? I'll hang up and listen.
I would say love and lose, but I think that every experience is worth the learning process.
There's always, I agree, there's always a value, but if you have never experienced the opening salvo, the beginning stages of love and the way it makes you feel, it's worth losing it because that first part of it is so great. And then you're married for nearly 20 years and it's different. Laura Larson writes, you'll get there, Katie. Dear Casey, what books have...
I divorced once.
I'll never divorce Carrie because I won't give her the satisfaction.
Oh, my God. Next question.
Laura Larson writes, dear Casey, what books have each of you read most recently?
I just finished Again, and I've read it a few times, A Year in Provence. It was interesting to move...
And isn't it Provence?
Provence.
Provence.
But it was really interesting to move here and think back about the book and think, I think there are some things there that like I need to read from a different perspective.
Parallels.
They talk about moving into this house and then they get, it's summertime and they get all these visitors, but people don't realize how hot it is. And
wow.
there's a whole bunch of it, but I just finished that. And then I had never read, I think it's Madeline L'Engle. A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that when we were down there.
Yeah,
it's sort of a young adult's book.
Yeah, I kind of bought it for Julia, but she wasn't really interested in it.
Julia only reads the Holy Bible.
So I decided to read it myself. It's really cool.
Cool. The book that I am just finishing up is a reprint of a re-release of a book that has some updates in it. It's by a guy named Steve Stolier, who spent some of his college and just after career, due to a turn of events, he became Groucho Marx's personal secretary. And he eventually would handle archiving Groucho's memorabilia, handling some of his letters and all that stuff. He got to know Groucho very well at the end of Groucho's life. And there's a lot of fascinating stories in it. It's called Raised Eyebrows. But...
Oh, I love the name.
But the thing that's so sad is that it's Groucho at the end. And instead of a story building to a happy ending, it is very, very much about the decay of a once great comic. However, it is rich with detail, and I highly recommend it. Easy one here. Rob Reif writes, dear Casey, do you have any unusual nicknames for your dogs? Mine is easy. I call mine Linus. Linus, come here, boy. Come here, Linus.
You also call him Sweet Boy.
Well, he is a sweet boy. I don't know if that's a predicate nominative or a predicate adjective. But that's about it. Boy, Sweet Boy, Linus, and Linus. You've got the better names.
Well, we call Judd, Judley, and Mr. Buddy.
Hey, Buddy.
So the aforementioned Carl.
Yes.
Visited with his wife, Abby, last week.
Okay.
And that was so much fun. We had such a good time. But at one point he was like, so is this one's name Buddy? No, that's Judd.
Wow.
But Judd answers to both. He answers to Buddy.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You know, Robert also answers to Linus because I end up calling my kids the name of the dog as well.
So, now, Presley, we call her Pretzels.
Which is great.
And we call her Sweet Girl, not as much as we used to, because at one point when after we first got her, Dan's sister Jill pointed out that Presley didn't know her name. She thought her name was Sweet Girl.
Oh, so you had to retrain her, sort of.
So we had to, like, really make it a point to call her Presley and not just Sweet Girl. But she is such a sweet girl.
She is a sweet girl. And she's pretty. She's prettier and Judge. Your dog, Judge. Your dog, Buddy. He's very handsome. He is.
Yes, he's very
sweet. And the last question, and with your kind indulgence, I'd like to handle this one if that's okay.
Take it.
It comes from Scott Goldberg, and it says, Dear Casey, how will you spend Rosh Hashanah? Well, I'm not very familiar with the holiday, but I know that most of the people that observe Rosh Hashanah don't spend anything at all. Too soon.
That's all you, buddy.
Okay. It's Rob, R-O-B-B, S-P-E-W-A-K.
And that's where you can direct all of your hate mail.
Or your letters of encouragement.
Right. That's right.
Everybody's good at something. Well, that's episode 57. Does it count? It had a lot of jingles in it.
I think it counts.
I thought it was a wonderful show.
And I told one of the better stories of my life. I spent about a year writing a book of short stories, and that story of me skipping school was one of them.
Wow. So now we don't have to read it.
Nope.
So you know what? Take note, iTunes. This is no longer a comedy podcast. Book on tape. Move us over to Audible.
I think the written version, I left out a lot of parts. I think the written version was a little bit better.
You had me hanging on every word. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Rob Ford. And thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week with another episode. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Robbie.
And we will see you next week. Everybody, thank you. So long.
Toodaloo.
Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, the Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Welcome. Welcome back to Hour 20. We've got some stuff to do. We have some things to tell you. We have some people to present. And we're going to check my memory. Everything seems lovely when we start to roam. The birds are singing the day that you stray. But wait until you are further away. Things won't be so lovely when you're far from home. Here's what you'll be saying, oh, when you're far from home. Mammy, mammy. The sun shines east, the sun shines west. I just learned where the sun shines best. Ha ha ha, mammy, ah, my mammy, why my heartstrings are tangled around Alabama. Mammy, I'm coming, and I know that I won't be long. Mammy, I'm coming, I just hope I'm not late. Mammy, Mammy, I walk a million miles for one of your smiles. Mammy, I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel this love is real. Near you, I want to be. The birds are singing and it's song time. The banjo's drumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you. My dear old Swanee, I give the world to be. Among the folks in D-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north won't see me no more when I get to the Swanee shore. Swanee, Swanee, I'm coming back to Swanee. Mammy, Mammy, I miss the old folks at home. Weep no more, my lady, sing that song for me. Sing it soft and low, just as low you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'll deliver the minute that you sing the Swanee River. A rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby with a Dixie melody. Thank you.